Zichr Babaz Dav Tzadi Gimel. This shir is L'Zeicha Nishmas, Rabbi Goldhar's father, Moshe ben Beryl, Zichrono Livracha. The first sugya on the daf, comparing chazaka of circumstantial evidence to roiv. The Gemara once said that there's a machlekes tanoim regarding roiv by mamonis. Because the Braisa says if a shar is grazing in a field, and another shar was found killed next to it, even though this ox was gored, and this is a mu'ud to gore, or it's bitten, and this is a mu'ud to bite, we don't say for certain that this ox gored it or bit it. Avacha argues and says that if a gummel was seen mating, and another gummel was found killed near it, we assume that this gummel killed it. The Gemara initially assumes that roiv and chazak are the same, and these tanam would also argue regarding a roiv from amen. The Gemara answers that although the tanakama does not follow chazaka, and maybe Ravacha only follows chazaka, because the chazaka is on this camel itself, as opposed to roiv, which is based on other statistical occurrences. Second sugya in the daf machlek is tanam regarding roiv for sales of Zera Pishtan. The Gemara proves that our Mishnah does not follow roiv regarding mamin, because the Mishnah says if a person purchased seeds and planted them and they don't grow, even Zera Pishtan, he doesn't get his money back. The Gemara assumed, even though Zera Pishtan is mostly purchased for planting, the Moicher can still say he sold it for eating. The Gemara says this Tana holds like Shmuel, but other Tanaim do go after roiv. In a Braisa, the Tanakama says that the seller is not responsible for Zera Pishtan, which doesn't grow. And Abaisi says he pays for the value of the seeds, because he does follow roiv. They said to him, many people buy it for other purposes than planting. And the Gemara explains that both these last two Tanaim follow roiv by Mamanus. The second Shita holds, you go after the majority of people, and most people purchase Zera Pishtan for other purposes. And Abaisi holds, you follow the majority of seeds, and most of them are sold for planting. Third Sugya on the daf, Machleik is about paying Dmei Haitzah. In a Braisa discussing the seller's liability for Zerei Negina which don't grow, Tanakama says you only pay the value of the seeds, but not the expense that it costed the buyer to plant, because it's a grama. And some say you even pay the buyer's expense. Rav Chisda says the second opinion is of Shim Gamliel. And the Gemara later brings a Braisa, if a person brings wheat to the grinder to grind, and he didn't moisten it first, and therefore it became bran, or he brought flour to a baker, who made it into crumbly bread, or he brought an animal to a butcher, and he shechted it incorrectly and made it an avela, he has to pay because he's a paid worker. Shim Gamliel says he also has to give the value of the baishas and the baishas of his guests. So according to Shim Gamliel, who requires payment for baishas, he certainly requires payment for the expenses of the planting. And so once again, the first sugya on the daf, comparing chazaka of circumstantial evidence to roiv. The Gemara once said that there's a machlekes tanoim regarding roiv by mamonis. Because the Braisa says if a shar is grazing in a field, and another shar was found killed next to it, even though this ox was gored, and this is a mu'ud to gore, or it's bitten, and this is a mu'ud to bite, we don't say for certain that this ox gored it or bit it. Avacha argues and says that if a gummel was seen mating, and another gummel was found killed near it, we assume that this gummel killed it. The Gemara initially assumes that roiv and chazak are the same, and these tanam would also argue regarding a roiv from amen. The Gemara answers that although the tanakama does not follow chazaka, and maybe Ravacha only follows chazaka, because the chazaka is on this camel itself, as opposed to roiv, which is based on other statistical occurrences. Second sugya in the daf machlek is tanam regarding roiv for sales of Zera Pishtan. The Gemara proves that our Mishnah does not follow roiv regarding mamin, because the Mishnah says if a person purchased seeds and planted them and they don't grow, even Zera Pishtan, he doesn't get his money back. The Gemara assumed, even though Zera Pishtan is mostly purchased for planting, the Moicher can still say he sold it for eating. The Gemara says this Tana holds like Shmuel, but other Tanaim do go after roiv. In a Braisa, the Tanakama says that the seller is not responsible for Zera Pishtan, which doesn't grow. And Abaisi says he pays for the value of the seeds, because he does follow roiv. They said to him, many people buy it for other purposes than planting. And the Gemara explains that both these last two Tanaim follow roiv by mamonis. The second Shita holds, you go after the majority of people, and most people purchase Zera Pishtan for other purposes. And Abaisi holds, you follow the majority of seeds, and most of them are sold for planting. Third sugya on the daf, machleik is about paying Dmei Haitzah. In a Braisa discussing the seller's liability for Zerei Negina which don't grow, Tanakama says you only pay the value of the seeds, but not the expense that it costed the buyer to plant, because it's a grama. And some say you even pay the buyer's expense. Rav Chisda says the second opinion is of Shim Gamliel. And the Gemara later brings a Braisa, if a person brings wheat to the grinder to grind, and he didn't moisten it first, and therefore it became bran, or he brought flour to a baker, who made it into crumbly bread, or he brought an animal to a butcher, and he shechted it incorrectly and made it an avela, he has to pay because he's a paid worker. Shim Gamliel says he also has to give the value of the baishas and the baishas of his guests. So according to Shim Gamliel, who requires payment for baishas, he certainly requires payment for the expenses of the planting. So to summarize, the first sugya on the daf, comparing chazaka of circumstantial evidence to roiv. Second sugya machleik is tanam regarding roiv for sales of Zera Pishtan. Third sugya machleik is about paying Dmei Haitzah. The Simf Babaz Dav Tzadi Gimel is a train chugging along. When the train came to a sudden stop, where a cow mu'ed to gur was standing next to a dead cow that had been grazing on the tracks, which had a boxcar full of Zera Pishtun, where the majority is sold for planting, but the majority of people buy for different purposes. An angry customer boarded the train, demanding a garden seed salesman reimburse him for the seeds that didn't grow, plus his expenses. The train chugging along reminds of Daf Tzadik Gimel. The cow that was mu'ed that was standing next to the dead cow reminds of the first sugya on the daf, comparing chazaka of circumstantial evidence to roiv. The boxcar full of Zera Pishtun, where the majority is sold for planting, reminds of the second sugya on the daf, the machlekes tanaim regarding roiv for the sales of Zera Pishtun. And the customer wanted to be reimbursed for the expenses reminds of the third sugya on the daf, machlekes about paying d'mei haitzah. And now for the four blat chazara, the three sugyas on the daf. Number one, Eifa Shlema teaches not to deviate from measuring practices, even without cheating. Number two, one's money depends on his honesty with measures. Number three, fraudulent measuring practices, oilim oimer, oilim loimer. The Simf Babasda Peites is a pot. The seller who always made sure to measure with his Eifa Shlema pot, to remember not to level in a place with a heap, watched his competitor go poor from cheating people using different measures, who refused to listen to the Rav, who spoke in the town square about forbidden sales practices. Pat reminds of Daf Peites. The seller who always made sure to use his Eifa Shlema pot to remember not to level in a place with a heap reminds of the first sugya on the daf that Eifa Shlema teaches us not to deviate from measuring practices even without cheating. The competitor who went poor because he cheated reminds of the second sugya on the daf that a person's money is dependent on how he acts and measures. And the Rav that spoke in the town square about forbidden sales practices reminds of the third sugya on the daf, Oilim Oimer, Oilim Loyimer. The first sugya on the daf, Ein Meisifin Alamidis Eisim Ishtos. Second sugya, hoarding produce. Third sugya, exporting staples from Eretz Yisrael. The sin from Abbas Dav Tzadi is at Stucka Box. It was a dark day in Stuckaville where the large town Pushka notified people it was prohibited to increase the value of coins more than a sixth, when one person was found hoarding produce to inflate prices, and another was caught exporting staples outside of Eretz Yisrael, which is Usser. Stucka Box reminds of Daf Tzadi. The large pushka which notified people that you can't increase the value of coins more than a sixth reminds of the first sugya on the daf, Ein Meisifin Alamidis Eisim Ishtos. The person who was found hoarding produce to inflate the prices reminds of the second sugya on the daf regarding hoarding produce. And the one that was exporting staples outside of Eretz Yisrael reminds of a third sugya on the daf, exporting staples from Eretz Yisrael, which is Usser. The first sugya on the daf, one may not leave Eretz Yisrael, and the death of Elimelech and his sons. Second sugya, Avram's imprisonment, and the reactions of the nation's great men on his patira. Third sugya on the daf, Rabbi Yochanan's recollections. The simon from Abbas Daf Tzadi Aleph is an exit sign. The great Rav standing at a large exit sign at the borders of Eretz Yisrael that said, "Do not leave," and depicted the graves of a Jewish leader and his two sons, so off in the distance, the prison where Avram Avinu was kept for many years, and recalled how years earlier, teenage boys and girls would play together under the exit sign in the marketplace and not do avers. The exit sign reminds of Daf Tzadi Aleph, Tzei, the sign at the borders of Eretz Yisrael that said, "Do not leave," that had the graves of a Jewish leader and his two sons, reminds of the first sugya on the daf, that a person shouldn't leave Eretz Yisrael, and the death of Elimelech and his sons. The prison where Avram Avinu was kept for many years reminds of the second sugya on the daf, Avram's imprisonment and the reactions of the nation's great men on his patira. He remembered the teenage boys and girls who had played together and not to Averis, reminds of a third sugya on the daf, Rabbi Yechanan's recollections. The first sugya on the daf sold produce which was planted but didn't grow. Second sugya on the daf, a person sold a shor to his friend and it was an akhan. Third sugya on the daf, why Rav cannot prove that a woman was married as a psula. The sim from Abbas Daf Tzadi Beis is a turtle. When the owner of the turtle farm bought seeds to plant for turtle feed that didn't grow and he couldn't get a refund, and the cow he bought to plow turned out to be an akhan and he couldn't get a refund on that either, he decided to rent out the farm to hold weddings, appointing Edim to watch for the veil and uncovered hair. Turtle reminds of Daf Tzadi Beis, a tzav. The seeds that were bought that didn't grow and he couldn't get a refund reminds of the first sugya on the daf, sold produce which was planted and didn't grow. The cow that he bought that turned out to be an akhan reminds of the second sugya on the daf, a person sells a shor to his friend and it was an akhan. The Edim that are watching for the veil and uncovered here reminds of the third sugya on the daf, why Rav cannot prove that a woman was married as a psula.